Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just a trio of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eat teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia, Bo, Sheil, and Zach kicking it cooler than breathing until Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo, Sheil, and Zach coming at you with steps and things flapping their wings on.
It's Tuesday beating after they win by 36. What did we say? They ran to 350. Hell, he was inactive. I don't give
a... Hello, everybody, and welcome to the post-game edition of Birds with Friends. It is 5:25 p.m., an early edition, early bird edition of Birds with Friends following their incredibly embarrassing 13-7 loss to the New York Giants. We will get into all of that. We're doing an early bird podcast because we're in East Rutherford. It's a long drive home. Some people involved in the podcast have to go to Sunday Night Football tonight, so that throws off the schedule just a little bit, but that's quite all right. Embarrassing all around.
Let's get
yeah,
the
of course
raw...
you do. You're not the one who has to write late.
But let's get the raw emotion of the pod as opposed to... As opposed to being on fumes.
The cooked emotion.
Well said.
How are you?
Doing well.
This is Zebram stomping grounds. You must be soaking it up. This is what you love.
I've had many.
The classiest place in the league.
I've had many great moments covering, or I shouldn't say great moments. I've observed many great moments here, and I look forward to being here again next weekend.
Well, after the third Jalen Hurts interception in this game, the MetLife Stadium sound people played Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears. Would you classify that as classy?
I would classify
that as a little rubbing salt in the wounds.
I would classify that as funny.
Well, there's a difference, but no one calls them the funniest organization.
They are a classy organization. But let's talk about this game, because this was a huge game and just a crushing loss for the Eagles. And I would go as far to say is an indefensible loss for the Eagles. Are you frozen again? Or okay, so I will
because get... Casey has been really into Frozen the last week or so. So maybe that's just where this is coming from.
Gotcha. So look, I understand you're not going to play the way you played every game, the way you played these past few weeks every game. And teams
why?
I'm not saying in terms of style. I'm saying in terms of effectiveness. Teams have bad games. But as you and I were talking when we walked back from the locker room, the way they played, the opportunity they had to – this was such a winnable game. They turned the ball over four times, and they still had pristine chances to win the game late. This was a bad showing from the coach. This was a bad showing from the quarterback. And they had players who needed to step into big roles who make critical errors. Jalen Reagor needs to catch at least one of those two passes, right? Boston Scott can't fumble in that spot. And Jalen Hurts, I know you're going to throw interceptions from time to time. Anytime you throw three interceptions is bad and excusable. But the interception before halftime, the lack of situational awareness there, the poor decision, the poor play, that's just bad. It's just bad. And you can't, I understand intellectually that everything is a learning experience, but when you are in week 12 of the season and you're 5-6 going into this game, I don't know how many times you can chalk it up as learning experiences. It's chalked up as wasted opportunities, because that's what this was a wasted opportunity. You're continuing to go in and out here.
Zach, I think me and you are going to have to do this pod together.
No problem. I'll talk. Maybe. Bo, do you have a lot of tabs open, perhaps?
This is live streaming at its finest.
This is live streaming. So I don't know if you caught the game, Marissa. Were you able to catch some of it?
Well, so I was actually driving to Baltimore, but I was having updates on the phone, and I heard they were on the 2-yard line and that interception right before the half. And I was like, oh, Bo and Zach are not gonna have anything good to say about that.
So this is where I see it, because I'm not one of these guys who says play X cost you the game or play Y cost you the game. I understand, like Nick Sirianni says, it's not one play. It's not Jalen Reagor's drop. It's not Boston Scott's fumble. It's not even Jalen Hurts' interception. But I keep pointing out the interception because the entire context of the game is different if he does not throw that interception there before halftime. At that point, it's 3-0. And worst case scenario the worst thing you can do there is turn the ball over. If it's not there, throw it away, kick the field goal. You go into a 3-3. And by the way, if they get points there, then you don't need touchdowns on the two final drives. All you need is a field goal potentially to send the game into overtime. And it changes the context of those last few minutes. So if I was going to pinpoint one play that really cost them, to me, it's the play before halftime. I understand Jalen Reagor's drops are going to get most of the attention, and Boston Scott's fumble was bad. But I keep going back to that play before halftime. And I'll say this as Bo's getting situated there. There was Jalen Reagor took accountability after the game. He came up. He said two drops. They're uncharacteristic of him. Frankly, I don't know if I would frame it as uncharacteristic, but he's right. Two drops, and I would say it's a word I've used a few times, just inexcusable.
So, Zach, who do you think's having a worse day right now, Jalen Hurts or Bo? Question from Nick in the chat.
Well,
we all know when Bo has bad Wi-Fi, how it makes him very on edge.
Bo
three
still
interceptions
has
is pretty tough, too.
True. I think Bo still has a chance to salvage this.
Well, he's commenting in our chat currently, so I'm not really sure what he's doing. But
you know, if Bo wants to come into the room with me here, because we're in separate boxes here. If he wants to come into the room with me, I can put the microphone in the middle and we can head forth.
Let's do it.
Okay.
You want to do it? Okay. I am in the Giants Spanish radio booth.
Okay.
This is live streaming at its complete finest. Bo is going to totally remove himself from the screen. And then what everyone has always wanted, Bo is going to appear in Zach's box on the screen. This is amazing.
Go.
Where else can you get this content? The Rams Packers 10-13 game is nothing on this right now. Totally.
Well said. I like the energy here. A few quick notes. Jason Kelce missed some time during the game, came back, gutted it through, but his absence was significant because Nate Herbig was flagged for there he is. Nate Herbig flagged for two holding calls, including one that negated a touchdown. So that's kind of like an under the radar costly thing. And then Jack Driscoll left the game with an ankle injury, immediately ruled out. That's never good.
Hey, Zach, how are you?
Do I need to take out my headphones here?
Oh. Maybe it's good so you can hear Marissa.
Okay.
You don't have to hear me. I could take myself off. I'm going to make you guys.
In person screen pod in very long.
I'm going to make you guys full screen. Bo's a little far. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. That's good. I'm going to make you guys full screen so everyone can see you. Okay.
Good.
Let me turn this here.
Okay. All right.
Here we go. This is like amateur hour right now. But we're good.
A little bit more. There we go. Okay.
We got to get the good angle for you.
So, well, we got to get both of us on the screen. Okay. So I was listening to, I could hear most of what you were saying. I don't like, yes, that play at the end of the first half was awful. It doesn't like define the game to me. There were so many more other opportunities. And like, I don't know, do you want to have a Rager conversation to start off with?
Should I do think that's what the fans are pointing to right now, okay. More Rager than Hurts.
Yes, he gets credit for talking afterwards, as you said.
I'm not giving him credit for talking afterwards. I'm just saying he took accountability.
He did. It's not like he said that. Boston Scott. Yeah. Although it was like you said, it was sort of like those are uncharacteristic drops. Is sort of like delusional a little bit. But to me, like everything about Rager is not about Jalen Rager. It's about like the pick. It's about Howie Roseman. And in this game, it's about Nick Sirianni. Like, why is Jalen Rager getting so many targets when Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert are not getting targeted? Rager has 7 targets. Smith and Goddard combined for 7. Before that, like during that last drive, Devontae Smith goes over to Sirianni and says, I want the ball. Give me the ball. And of course he should be getting the ball. Like, why aren't they getting him the ball?
What vantage point did you have of Devontae here? Did you think he was open?
Yes, although like Hurts had to step up in the pocket. I think it would have been a weird throw from there. Okay. I don't necessarily blame him for not throwing to Devontae on that play, but I blame them for not getting him more involved. And it's just like setting aside Hurts and the interceptions he threw in this game, like that's a separate conversation. Like, I did not understand what they were doing offensively in this game because, like, nobody could stop what they've been doing. And when they went to that stuff in this game, when they ran the ball, like, this team is turning me into a concussion uncle because the Giants couldn't stop them. Every time they ran the ball, that's how they drove down the field. And when the last 4 weeks, what they did was they would run the ball and they'd throw it to Devontae and Goddard. And that's like they went away from that in this game. I don't know what defensively the Giants may have been doing to take away those two guys. Jalen Hurts said after the game that it was not anything special. Like, they were just playing zone defense.
So Nick said to your question that they liked some of what they saw in the play action and in the dropback game, correct?
Yeah. He said basically their game plan was what it's been, but that's not how they executed. That's
no,
not
it
what
sounded
they called.
To me that – and I was just listening back to it. It sounded to me like he thought they could take advantage of the Giants through the air based on some of the things they saw. Is that fair?
Well, that's dumb.
I agree. I'm not defending the game plan. And I think that's not a good sign for your quarterback, right? If Jalen Hurts was not good throughout this game, and in particular in the first half, and I think you had the stat, what they passed on 8 of their first 12, or was it 12 of their first 16 plays?
Yeah.
When –
including one that was technically a run. It was like backwards throw to Quez Watkins.
If Hurts is completing them, then fine. You can quibble with the game plan. But if it's working, you can say, all right, they saw it and they're executing it. That didn't happen. And they went 3-and-out twice when they were in 3rd and 10 and 3rd and 11. I had an issue with the game plan. I had an issue with the quarterback play.
I didn't even like even before that Hurts interception at the end of the first half. I didn't like the two plays before it. Pass to Greg Ward, and then you go empty and run to Jalen Hurts, which takes away the defense having to play both Hurts and the running back. I just and then
they
like,
actually ran the only play I didn't think they should run.
Right. Yeah. And then like this game to me was like it was as if they entered the game trying to prove they could win a different way. JJ, I think a Whiteside's getting like 15 snaps. What is he doing on the field so much? Greg Ward in the end zone. It was like they were trying to use this as a tendency breaker when there was no reason to do so. Like they could have lined up with like no game plan and won this game, I thought. I mean, as you said, you turn the ball, you lose a turnover battle 4-0 and still the ball is in your hands to win at the end of the game. Like, that tells you how uneven these teams should be.
Should I be looking at you or the camera? I always struggle with that.
That's fair. I mean, if this was a show, if this was an actual studio show, you'd want to address the camera quickly, but then make it more conversational.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe rules are different for a podcast.
I can't defend the game plan there. I can't defend. There's nothing I can point to today that said, all right, they did a good job. Except, that, look, I suppose this is on brand. I thought the defense did its job, right?
The defense did do its job. Although, yeah, but, you know, that drive at the
but they didn't force
a couple ticky tackles. You know, I don't think the Eagles are in position to be complaining about the refs in this game, considering how poorly they played. But I did think the pass interference on Nelson in the end zone was commensurate with the pass interference that could have been called on Rager on the first of those two plays at the end of the game. But I mean, what are you
going to do? So I kind of rerouted the Rager discussion, but I do think that there's a discussion that needs to be had in terms of this is his chance to make these plays. I'm not saying the entire narrative of him is different, but it almost reminds me of, I've been making this comparison throughout the summer, but it's true. It's like Nelson Agholor, where Agholor would have these moments, the Atlanta game where he makes that drop, right? He had the New England game where he drops a pass, you know, a pass late. No, that was JJ.
Seattle game. Right.
Yes. But it's kind of like that where this was his chance. The story, if he makes that catch, the second
either
the
one of
those. Play.
Yeah, either one of them.
The story of the game is Jalen Rager, who
the redemption of Jalen Rager.
Exactly. And it's literally the ball was in his hands, the story's in his hands, and he doesn't make that catch. And it's not like he's so rife with he's so full of opportunities here that he's like, all right, well, the next game he'll have six catches. No, he's not targeted enough for him to have these types of drops. These are bad, costly drops. I'm eager to go back and watch. I hate to be that guy. He's like, I need to see the All-22. But I'm eager to see Devontae because as I was watching in real time, you could see Devontae before that last play, like, go up to Nick, talk to Nick. And then you can see him after the last play.
Furious.
Animated, throws his helmet on the sideline. Yeah. And the point that I made to you is that and I listened back to what Nick said. Nick said he didn't know, you know, they had to do what's best for the team. And he might have been open on the scramble, but he wasn't open on the release. My point is just give your guy a chance. If you're going to go down getting the ball to your best guy. I've always felt that way. Like you want, you know, unless it's someone who's wide open, unless it's Michael Jordan passing to Steve Kerr for that shot, you want Michael Jordan taking the shot, right? I would rather, unless he's like triple covered and there's no one around him, give him a chance to make the play. Give 88 the chance to make the play.
I mean,
but you go to Rager on back-to-back plays. There is my point.
Well, the second one was he's throwing it up. It's a scramble drill there, like, and he's open. I mean, he was a good throw. I don't know. I also think they didn't need to spike the ball on first down. They had more time.
Okay.
And in which case they wouldn't have been so pressed on that fourth down, but maybe time would have been more against them. I don't know. All right,
Now for this break. We will be better on the other side. I promise you that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ah, we're back on Birds with Friends. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman. Zach, one question we did not get to ask Jalen Hurts in the postgame press conference. His reaction to Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma for USC. How are they going to fill that job?
Are you serious? We're doing this? I suppose I'll do 30 seconds. But, Bo, Sheila specifically told me I don't need to answer all of your questions.
Well, that was the beginning of the show. We're post first ad break. Yeah, anything goes now.
I haven't put much thought into this, obviously. I would imagine Mark Stoops. I think like the big
Mark
swing.
Stoops.
Okay. I imagine the big swing would be Cliff Kingsbury if they could get him, but I don't see why Cliff Kingsbury would leave the job has.
He could get any job he wants.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't see why.
No
he
reason
do
for
that.
Him to take that job.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm a big Matt Campbell guy. I would look at Matt Campbell.
He's already got Alex Grinch there. Maybe get the old Mount Union connection.
Yeah. But I honestly don't know. And my view on like Riley leaving without reading any of the coverage yet is LA is a great place to live, and the Pac-12 is easier to win than the SEC, and that it's going to be a pain. It's going to be really hard to get out of the SEC, like to win a national championship in the SEC, and I think your path's easier in the Pac-12.
Do you think that Jeffrey Lurie is miffed that Lincoln Riley is leaving Oklahoma for somewhere other than the Eagles?
No, I don't. I think like
I don't know. I think he would love to have Lincoln Riley, don't you?
Yeah, but I think if Lincoln Riley took like a different NFL job last year, that would be more miffing Jeffrey Lurie. I think going to USC is a different animal.
Okay. And who replaces the guy who took the Florida job?
Who replaces Billy Napier? I don't know. I'll call Doug Peterson, see if he's interested.
You think he would do that? No way.
I don't know.
Right?
I mean,
if his son was still there, maybe.
Yeah, if he's like toward Louisiana Tech, he's from Shreveport, right? But I don't know. I doubt it.
Let's talk.
I don't have the comments.
How about this? What's your take on like the Ohio State should be in the playoff even though they lost a second game, like best four teams nonsense?
I think if you lost two games, you're not one of the best four teams.
I hate that stuff so much.
Yeah,
like, what's the point of the sport?
That's
if that's the case.
That's my view. They lost to Oregon and Michigan. You know, that's their playoff, right? So,
get out of here.
It's that simple.
Okay. So Jalen Hurts in this game, 14 for 31 for 129 yards. The three interceptions, obviously not very good. Also had 77 yards rushing on 8 attempts. I mean, Jalen Hurts throws 31 passes in this game, which is the most he's thrown for in the last 5 weeks, right?
And by the way, that's not inflated by like trying to come from behind late because
Yeah, I totally agree. Meanwhile, they're running for 6.3 yards per carry. The running backs are running for over 5 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. Like I said it before, the concussion uncle thing, but like they need Johnny WIP to be like calling the game, it seems like, if they're gonna just ignore what has been successful like this. It's crazy. What were they doing? Like Jalen Hurts gets a ton of blame. You can't throw three interceptions. That's the one thing he's done well this year is protect the ball. But like my takeaway from this game is a Sirianni thing. Like this was bad offensive coaching.
So I want to go back and look through the play-by-play, but something that jumped out to me as I was watching it in real time, especially early in the game, and I've harped on this in the past, was like bad play calling on first down, on first and second down, like incompletions early on that put them in those third and longs. When you're in third and 10, you're in third and 11, you're obviously going to pass the ball. You're not going to run there. But to get to third and 10 and third and 11, you're passing to have incompletions. And I think one thing that's really been effective for them in recent weeks has been getting into third and manageable. And they didn't do that enough. And that contributed that was created by the play calling, and that contributed to the mounting passing plays.
Do you know who is the Eagles' leading receiver in this game?
I would need to look through the stats, but my guess would be Quez.
Kenny Gainwell.
Okay, he had the plays late.
3 for 32, yeah. All on the final drive. Okay. He had played like one snap before that. So it tells you how explosive they were there. Although I did think Quez made a good catch earlier in the game. And, you know, Rager, to his credit, made a good catch late in the first half. But obviously no one's going to care about that, given the way things ended. Jason Kelce in this game was an interesting scene as somebody enters the booth. Who knows who? It's a good little tension builder. somebody came in. We don't know if they left. They could be hiding behind us. If we die, hopefully it'll be caught on camera. Kelsey leaves with a knee injury and is like trying to go back in, doesn't want to go to the injury tent. Then he goes to the injury tent. Then he goes into the locker room to get looked at, comes back on the field and is like trying to take some reps and just like he can't do it. His knee is not strong enough. He decides he can't play. Then it's halftime. And after halftime, he still doesn't come back. So you figured then it's over. But then the next series, he comes back. And, you know, he seemed fine. And then Jack Driscoll suffered an injury, did not return. And so Herbig, who was playing center, goes to right guard. And
do they win that game if Kelsey plays the last drive of the first half?
Yeah.
Because they had points taken off the board. They had a touchdown taken off the board because of a Herbig penalty.
That's true. That is true.
Now, perhaps the penalty contributed to the touchdown run. But
yeah, perhaps. But I think they probably do win if Kelsey is out there. I mean, there's like a million things that they – like, do you think they win if Boston Scott doesn't fumble?
I think they score there. Yeah.
Yeah.
On that drive. I do.
And do you think they win if –
But then I don't know if the Giants take it down and kick a game-winning field goal in that case.
Yeah, that's possible. What'd you think of the Freddie Kitchens game plan?
I mean, look, the Giants scored 13 points. They scored one touchdown.
Flea like, flicker screen.
I'm not
– Classic Kitchens.
This isn't like the redemption of the Giants today.
Yeah, I feel like the Giants had absolutely nothing to do with the outcome of this game.
Yeah. Yeah, but look, I know this is going to be billed as like a big resilient win for the Giants. And they did make those interceptions. I'll give them credit there. But to me,
one of those
even if I wasn't covering the Eagles, even if I wasn't covering the Eagles and I watched that game, I would say the Eagles were the better team and they played a bad game and they deserved to lose.
I totally agree. Yeah, the Giants to me had almost no impact on the outcome of this game. If you want to talk about Hurts' three interceptions, the first one looked like somewhat defensible because he was expecting Quez to continue running across and then Quez stopped. It looked like it could have been holding too. I mean, you got to be safer with the ball, but I understood that throw. No defense at all for the second one. That was as bad as it gets. And then the third one, also a bad throw.
Yes.
He does have a habit, Hurts does, of like waiting a beat too long on some of those deep throws, which was unlike the throw to Rager at the end of the game, the one that could have been pass interference, which I thought came out on time. He threw it nicely. But on some of those other plays, he waits a little bit too long, just a beat too long to get rid of the ball.
And the thing with the interceptions, and this is obvious, you can say this about any interception, is it's not just the play itself, but it's the opportunity cost associated with it, right? When he throws the interception, it's what could have come after. It killed a drive early in the game, okay? Then obviously took points off the board.
Yeah.
And then the third one there just like stymied any chance to get offensive momentum.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of flow of the game, the third one was probably the least impactful just because they ended up getting a stop.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Happy Hanukkah to all of our listeners out there who celebrate and viewers. If you could get eight things for the Eagles, what would they be?
That's a good question.
Eight receivers.
No, I mean first off, edge rushers. I didn't see the snap counts here, but I saw a lot of Teron Jackson on the field today.
Yeah, I think Derek Barnett might have got banged up because he was. Teron Jackson and Ryan Kerrigan were both on the field in important moments at the end of the game.
Yeah, I think this Jalen Hurts conversation to me is so fascinating and. You know, there's a report out this morning from NFL media that he's
big time.
What's that?
I'm just poo-pooing the report.
Oh, that he's showing the Eagles they don't need to get into quarterback sweepstakes, and if he continues on this path, they're going to go with him for the future. And I don't think any decision on Jalen Hurts needs to be made on November 28th, or you know you're going to look at the entire body of the season. But this game is why there is concern about him. If you can't be efficient passing the ball, like moderately efficient, if you're just killing drives, if what was he, 14 for 31, if the ball's hitting the ground that much, that it's the only way you can win as an offense is by running. Just look, they ran for 208 yards today, and they scored 7 points. What does that tell you? So
that they should have run the ball more.
Yeah, but so yeah, so this conversation on Hurts isn't over, and I like how tough minded he is, and he has leadership attributes, and he talked this week about, you know, about the rat poison. But look, the things that are said about him, in both directions, it's true, right? He has done enough to put them in a good position recently, and he's not doing enough to say, like, you can win consistently with this guy as your quarterback. We'll see what happens at the end of the season, but I can't overstate enough how they spoiled a pristine opportunity. And I wasn't going to say they were going to run the table, right? But you don't crap the bed on the first of this slate here.
Well, I don't think it's over.
It's not over, but I'm saying we kept talking about these five games here. Yeah. They lost the first one.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but
so it puts them behind the eight ball.
You would have said that 4-1 gets it done for sure.
I agree.
And
so
if
they
does.
They I'm saying they didn't have much margin for error, and they narrowed that margin for error with this game today. So yeah, if they win their next four games and they are 9-7 going into week 18, obviously that's a good outcome. You know, then that's a good thing. But my point is that if they, I mean, they need to beat the Jets next week, right?
Yeah. And then you don't beat the Jets, you cancel the rest of the season. I mean, what
so
are you doing?
So they had momentum, and that momentum was stymied with the way they played. I don't like using stymied twice in the podcast.
It's okay. But we're all a little bit thrown off by the in-person record. It's okay.
We used to do it.
It should be like riding a bike,
exactly.
But it's not.
It's more the camera that's affecting.
Yeah, we don't do an in-person camera. That's true.
So we usually just have the conversation.
That's
and
true.
Now we have, it's the
third party.
Yeah.
I have to say that I find the, like, oh, like, this is why Jalen Hurts can't be the quarterback after he throws an interception or whatever. Like, every week, conversation, so uninteresting. Like, not every play or every game has to be a referendum on that decision.
Oh,
like,
I agree.
And this is not against you.
But I think the inverse is true, too.
Yeah.
Like every win isn't like they found their guy.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Like, let the thing play out a little bit. Not that I haven't like been guilty of writing these things either, but I mean, the most realistic thing that's going to happen is they're going to explore what's on the market in the offseason. They're not going to find a better option. He's going to be the quarterback next year. They're going to trade one of their three first round picks for a future first round pick so that they're well stocked for the 2023 draft, mm-hmm. just in case. And then that's when you reevaluate it. Like, I feel like that's what's going to happen.
Try to get Philadelphia native Bryce Young, right?
Your boy, this was great. I mean, to see your reaction and you process this live as you looked up Bryce Young today on Wikipedia and saw that he was born in Philadelphia,
which I did not realize.
What a moment.
I had watched a lot of him this year and did not realize he was a Philly native.
I told you I watched more college football yesterday than I have.
Yeah, 5 minutes
all year long. I watched about 5 minutes of Michigan, Ohio State. And then I watched the fourth quarter of Alabama, Auburn, and the fourth quarter of Oklahoma State. I like
and
Bryce Young.
And you're in on Caleb Williams.
Yeah, he's fun.
The future USC quarterback.
He's exciting.
Yeah.
He's exciting. Yeah, maybe he goes to USC and Rattler keeps the Oklahoma job.
Yeah.
I just like the Hurts thing. You have what you have, so do what works with him.
Agreed.
And that's run the ball. Like I have the zeal of the convert when it comes to running the ball here. Like I am, this team has turned me full concussion uncle.
Like, I don't understand what Sirianni was saying. Now I shouldn't say I don't understand. Sirianni was saying that they saw things they could take advantage of in the play action in the drop back game. But to me, it's like, don't overthink it. They were what, 28th in the NFL in DVOA.
30th against the run.
Yeah, 30th against the run. You're running well against him. Don't overthink it. And B, if you're going to have Hurts throw the ball, have him roll out and give him the chance to scramble if it's there.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
like that.
It doesn't have to be that. He can make throws from the pocket.
I know he
can. Fine,
I know he can, but he was 14 for 31 today.
Yeah.
So he wasn't doing it effectively enough.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. Why don't we take our second break and then come back and talk about a few other things, wrap things up so Marissa can go watch the game. All right, back on Birds with Friends. And Zach, regrettably, we do need to review the results of this swooper swordcasting. Shiel up 4 1/3 to 3 1/3 on both of us just as we creep closer. Unfortunately, he moves ahead. You had Devontae Smith tops 100 rushing yards or receiving yards. Did not happen. Jalen Hurts has fewer rushing yards than Daniel Jones, 77 to 30. Did not happen. Darius Slay has an interception, forced fumble, or fumble recovery. Did not happen. And the Eagles have more rushing yards in the first half than the Giants do for the entire game. If you had done the second half, I think you would have had it, but it did not happen in the first half. I had Joe Judge loses a challenge. Felt good about that one. Didn't happen. The broadcast shows either Joe Judge or Freddie Kitchens clapping on the sideline. I didn't see it, but I feel like we would have been told if it happened. Kadarius Toney has more receiving yards than Devontae Smith. I mean, if Kadarius Toney had played in this game, I would have had a good chance at that one. And then Jalen Hurts throws for 3 or more touchdowns. Did not happen. Shiel, however, had a punt lands in the field of play that is not blocked and is untouched beyond the line of scrimmage and does not result in a touchback. Happened on the very first punt of the game from Riley Dixon. Happened one other time, so he got 2 of those. That's 1 point. Disappointing. Daniel Jones's longest run is longer than Jalen Hurts's longest run. That did not happen, 14 to 18. But Boston Scott topped 75 yards from scrimmage or scores at least 2 touchdowns. Also didn't happen, but came very close. Boston Scott had 72 or 73 yards. But then he also had JJ, I think, at Whiteside has a catch. So a 2-0-0 victory for Shiel. He takes a 2-game lead heading into the home stretch.
5 games to go.
Yeah, plenty of time to make up that. Longest view in the room. You've got the most turkeys remaining.
14 turkeys, exactly.
Okay. Curious, did you think that Miles Sanders was not the running back at the end of this game? Nick Sirianni said he had a banged up ankle, but he also didn't say that was the only reason. He was like, he liked the way that Boston Scott was running the ball.
Did find it curious. I didn't think this was a hot hand situation. I actually thought Miles was running well. I figured at the time it was more injury related. Miles had that long run. What was it, 26 yarder? Was
27.
27 yarder.
Very close.
And he came up sore after that play. And then
Jalen Hurts also had a bum ankle.
Exactly. So I looked at it like it was injury related. I was surprised that Nick kind of framed it more. They liked the way Scott was running. I think Sanders is the better player. I would rather have him out there. Sanders had, 9 carries, 64 yards, 7.1 yards per carry, bolstered, of course, by that 27-yard carry. Scott, 15 carries, 64 yards, 4.3. So not bad, but Sanders – I would rather have Sanders on the field than Boston Scott. And I do think they missed out on Jordan Howard. I think what Jordan Howard has given this team – in the past few weeks, they could have used that, especially on early downs.
You know, to me, what they missed about Jordan Howard in this game was less about Jordan Howard running the ball and more about, like, Jordan Howard giving them an excuse to run the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you're not going to throw to him. So if he's in the game, you're going to.
Right. Like, if Jordan Howard was in this game, they probably would have run the ball more often. And I think they would have been just as successful if they had continued running the ball without Jordan Howard. But they'd, like, tried to get cute, like these passes to JJ, I think, a Whiteside. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of JJ.
A lot of JJ. Too much JJ. I respected JJ, but too much JJ. What do you think is a worse pick? JJ, I think, a Whiteside or Jalen Reagor?
Jalen Reagor. Without question.
I don't even think it's close.
I mean, first off, I'm using opportunity cost for the second time in this podcast. But
it's okay.
The opportunity cost is much higher.
Call ourselves the OC.
When in the first round. number one. It's a more valuable pick, and I think it's a more spectacular miss, right? Because it was a historic wide receiver class, and they go into it knowing they need a wide receiver. The wide receiver drafted one pick later was someone who we knew was better at the time. Like, they didn't take us a fit, and now they don't have a fit for Rager. And I know people keep talking about DK Metcalf. Like, I think the Eagles would have told you then DK Metcalf is the better prospect, right? That was injury related. And the Eagles were not the only team that thought that clearly.
I mean, he had a real serious neck thing.
And the Seahawks,
I don't blame
by the way,
for not taking.
Yeah, like the Seahawks took LJ Collier in the first round.
Yeah.
But the Rager pick, like the Rager Justin Jefferson is not second guessing. That's how we led the podcast that night. That was the first question to Howie Roseman afterwards is, what made you take this guy over Justin Jefferson? And then it's not just Justin Jefferson. You see the other receivers. I saw when I was looking at the stats, T. Higgins had a big day today. Some of the other receivers that we're talking about in that class.
Ayuk.
Brendan Ayuk had a big game last game.
We also could have moved down if you really wanted Rager.
Exactly.
Like, you could have moved down three spots or whatever.
Exactly. And look, I mean, the Henry Ruggs situation is different, obviously, but like, you could have moved up for CeeDee Lamb. I know that's not, you know, I know they say the price was prohibitive, but as you saw this year with like Devontae Smith, if you're motivated to get a guy, you could probably do it. Now, that said, they probably don't have Jalen Hurts right now because you probably would have had to give your second round pickup. So there's a whole can of worms there. Carson's still your quarterback.
Then it wouldn't have been worth it.
Yeah, but to me, yeah, Jalen Rager is the worst pick. But Jalen Rager also has a chance to salvage this.
It is crazy. I know the stats out there, and I think DFOP Dan McQuaid wrote about it, that Jalen Rager had a 55-yard catch in his first game.
Mm-hmm.
And has never topped that for a game.
Is that right? Jeez.
Since then.
Yeah. He looked really good in camp last year, too. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
I thought he looked really good in camp. Now, that probably was because they didn't really have like receivers. But I thought him and Deshaun were going to be a good combination. I was wrong, but I said at the time.
They need another receiver. They need somebody to make Quez the number three. Mm-hmm. They need real help on the edge, as you've talked about. And then they need to overhaul the secondary.
Now let me ask you this. Does what happened at the end of the game today affect Jalen Rager's playing time next week? Or do they not have any other options?
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do? Yeah. Play more Greg Ward? Play more J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? I don't know. I mean, it's not even him being on the field. It's just like trying to get, like, wasting time and the opportunity cost of like trying to get him the ball that bothers me. Like those forced touches. I mean, like, his role should be sort of what it was at points today, which is like the fifth option in the passing game.
I thought
guys out on the route and he's the last one.
So I thought an underrated thing or an under-discussed thing, at least from our perspective in the, press conferences from this week, was Sirianni talking about himself getting conservative, and he specifically said, "I didn't like that screen to Rager,"
yeah, exactly. Right?
Which might have been the fact that Rager didn't do much with it.
Yeah, I think he was trying to say he didn't put him in a good spot, but yeah, I agree with that. That was funny. Saquon Barkley's cooked, huh?
I don't think he's cooked. I think he's gonna be really good somewhere else.
Wow, you think he'll be good without the class?
Did you see that Strahan Hall of Fame? Or
yeah, that was big on your radar, huh?
That was a
You got to be in the same building as Eli again.
That was a real classy,
exciting
jersey retirement. I made the joke off camera, obviously, because I haven't talked about it here, that I feel like Strahan is like how we used to talk about how if something bad was happening with the Eagles, they just gave Brian Dawkins a promotion.
Yeah.
And I know this Strahan thing was planned all year long, but how many times have we been here when Strahan's been honored, right? He was put into the Ring of Honor, and now he's his jersey's retired. I feel like whenever they want juice, just wheel out Strahan, wheel out Eli. And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Just taking a look at the defensive stats to see if there was anything worth talking about. Singleton leads the way with 12 tackles. Dante Maddox, I thought, had a pretty good game. Had that one big breakup to force that last field goal by the Giants. I thought it was a good job by Sirianni that he had held on to all three of his timeouts mm-hmm. just after that Boston Scott turnover, and that was good.
But you wouldn't have spiked the ball.
But I wouldn't have spiked the ball. Yeah, I mean, I put this loss on him from an offensive game plan. And
yeah, I put on quarterback.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's on both of them for sure.
Players make plays.
But yeah. You know what quarterback you have.
That's true. That's true. But he took points off the board.
So did Sirianni by calling two dumb plays on first and second down.
I'm just saying that if the one thing that Hurts can't do there is throw the ball up for grabs, right?
Totally. Like, I mean, he shouldn't even be scrambling.
If it's not there, put in a third row. Don't throw – if a guy isn't open, don't put it up for grabs.
Yeah. I'm not defending that play. That play was terrible. Yeah. But anyway.
All right, we got writing to do.
All right. What's coming up this week?
What's coming up this week? Sirianni, we'll talk to him tomorrow. And then it's like deja vu all over again. We're back up here next weekend for same time, same place, right? Eagles-Jets. They'll turn all this into green. And so I was here when they introduced the stadium to reporters, and they made a big deal about how because of like the LED lighting, they can make this seem like the Jets stadium one day and then the Giants stadium the other day. So we'll see that on full display. But what's going on this week? I would say a must win game against a bad team.
Yeah.
Jets beat the Texans today.
Not good for them.
If memory serves. And
that's cute.
We'll see your boy Zach Wilson. Quick question here. You probably don't know this because you weren't on the beat at the time. This was during your sabbatical. What was relevant about the last time the Eagles played the Jets here in the regular season?
Here in the regular season.
Yes.
So then I would have been, right? Because it would have been 8 years ago?
No, because this isn't part of the AFC East rotation.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. So it was the 2015 season.
Okay.
But something significant was happening in Philadelphia that week that caused
the Eagles. Was that the Pope week?
Yep. The Pope was visiting. Good job. The Pope was visiting.
Gave me enough clues.
And the Eagles got out of Dodge and practiced at Fairleigh Dickinson.
Not all the way Dickinson, but fairly Dickinson. Yeah,
they practiced at Fairleigh Dickinson, which was a big deal about that was I'm sorry, not Fairleigh Dickinson. They practiced at Monmouth. And it was they had Miles Austin on the roster that year. And it was like Miles Austin's return to Monmouth.
Boy, you guys were really searching for storylines.
No, it wasn't us. We weren't allowed there.
Oh.
Yeah. So actually, because Chip Kelly, he didn't have access on Fridays then. They had the access Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And so they went up there for they had their walkthrough there Friday.
Okay.
And but it was the Pope week in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Yeah. I just remember specifically coming up here. I don't usually stay up here the night before the game, but I had to for that one.
Big Pope talk. I had something else and now I can't remember what it was. So that's good stuff. Okay, so that Vikings-Niners game is going on right now. It looks like the Niners have the lead. And you would basically expect or hope that whoever wins that game, you know, runs away with the number six spot, and then you stay in the race for the number seven spot.
And the Niners have the head-to-head over the Eagles.
They do.
So in theory, you want the Vikings.
I think both of them would have the head-to-head if there was a two-way tie. So
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, you just want whoever wins to go on a run.
Okay.
Which, you know, we'll see what happens.
But we'll be back for the pod Tuesday. I'm curious. I think Shield should give us credit for adjusting on the fly here, right? Like, I don't think
Shield needs to – I mean, he's not going to give us credit for anything.
I think we've stabilized after the opening. And I think we put together a good pod. And I do want to say, selfishly, I know this might not be conducive for you. I haven't evaluated my performance yet. I will listen tomorrow. But I am so much better after the game than I am at 11 o'clock. When we wait till 11 o'clock on a 1 o'clock game, I am like, I'm just, and
I know you're lobbying. I know you're lobbying now.
Yeah. So
it's not better for me.
But. I like this. And I feel like it's raw. It's fresh. Right.
Yeah. But then then our thoughts are less cogent. And I still don't know what I'm going to write about now. So that it hasn't helped clarify anything for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's put it up to the audience. Do you guys like it fresh after the game?
You are just Pander City.
You guys like it fresh after the game, or do you like it 11:30? When
I think everybody wants you to be suffering a little bit. Yeah. That's part of the enjoyment for the listeners. It's like speak everybody. For them.
I can tell you, there's one listener.
That's fair.
Nick Field says fresh after the game. What's up, Nick?
Well, Nick, go to hell.
Tony G says fresh. All right.
Okay. I guess that's about it. I mean, I feel like big picture, you might hope that this loss teaches Sirianni, like they have to relearn the lesson to go back to what it is that works and stop deviating from the septum. But I guess we'll see what happens. Hanging on by his fingernail, Zach is the best. That's my boy Tracer. Case. He knows what's going on. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. For Zach and Marissa and Sheil and Elijah, who we get to see next week. For everybody, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Tuesday night. And as always, we love you.